Hello, you're listening to the Northern Agenda podcast with me, Rob Parsons, a political journalist bringing you the Northern stories that matter away from the Westminster bubble. It's a special edition today as I've got the train from Leeds to a sports hall in the town of Thornaby-on-Tees, where I have just witnessed perhaps the only bright spot for Rishi Sunak in what has been a miserable local and mayoral election night for his Conservative Party. As I record this from the cafe of the Thornaby Pavilion on Friday afternoon, the Tories were on course to lose 500 local election seats in what could be their worst showing in 40 years. Just in the north of England, the Tories lost control of North East Lincolnshire, while Labour took control of Hartlepool Council and gained the Cumbria Police and Crime Commissioner from the Conservatives. In the Blackpool South parliamentary by-election, Labour's Chris Webb won with a huge 26% swing, the third biggest from a Conservative-held seat in a by-election since the Second World War. And there was a major blow for the Conservatives in York and North Yorkshire, a traditional Tory-dominated patch, where Labour caused a huge upset by winning the race to be the rural region's first ever metro mayor in Rishi Sunak's own backyard. It wasn't all good news for Labour, though. They lost control of Oldham amid a backlash over Labour's stance on Gaza and failed to win Hull back from the Liberal Democrats. But in the North East metro mayoral race, their candidate Kim McGuinness was on course to win the closely fought battle with independent Jamie Driscoll. We'll be hearing more from some of those counts a little later. But since I'm here on Teesside, let's focus on the contest here, which many pundits were predicting could even have an impact on Rishi Sunak's future as Prime Minister. Ben Houchen, described by many as the poster boy for conservatism in the north of England, has been re-elected mayor of the Tees Valley, but saw his majority over Labour dramatically cut, securing almost 82,000 votes compared with the 63,000 votes received by Labour's Chris McEwen. It's been a pretty toxic campaign where the candidates have clashed over the future of the region's publicly owned airport, which Lord Houchen took into public ownership in 2017, and the area's flagship Tees Works regeneration sites, where questions remain over transparency and value for money from the project. With Tory polling plumbing historic depths, the Conservative mayor has seemed keen to distance himself from the party brand and instead run on a highly personal platform. And he was the only candidate on stage not to wear a party rosette at the Tees Valley count, saying later that he forgot. After his win, the mayor was due to be whisked off to meet Rishi Sunak for a photo opportunity at Teesside Airport, but he did some media interviews as well. A few journalists from the print media, like myself, got a chance to fire some questions at the mayor, and you can hear how that went now. If you can hear the sound of a ball being whacked around in the background, that's the squash court a few metres away. I wanted to ask him about some of the promises he'd made on the campaign trail, like building a new hospital to replace the crumbling North Tees facility after missing out on central government funding. Now, things got pretty feisty, as one of the people asking questions was the journalist Richard Brooks from Private Eye, who has reported extensively on the way the huge Tees Works site is being run by Lord Houchen's authorities and the governance failings identified in the report a few weeks ago by Lancashire Council Chief Executive Angie Ridgewell. Have a listen here to how it went down.
Just glad to be back. It's fantastic to be able to get four more years to continue with what we started, because you know, we're doing big stuff, right? Well, you know, the whole plan for Teesside is do big infrastructure, big investment, shake up an economy that really starts to move the dial. Because you can't tinker around the edges in an area like ours that has been neglected by governments of both colours for literally half a century. And we're starting to see that come to fruition, right? Employment's up 5.4% since I was elected, record levels of investment, but we still have huge challenges in front of us. This is my home, right? I go into Middlesbrough, I go into Hartlepool, I see the problems, the deprivation, the poverty, and that's what I want to tackle. And to get four more years to be able to help improve our local areas, a dream come true, and I'm going to work as hard as I can to continue to improve it.
And have you saved Rishi today?
I have no idea. I suspect you're going to all speculate on that rather than me, but I'm just glad to get over the line. And you know, I've got a lot to thank Rishi for. I mean, the support he's given me, he's a neighbour. I've known him since he was elected in 2015. Like, we don't deliver the Treasury in Darlington if he's not the Chancellor. I remember being on calls with him where he was trying to push it through the civil service and they were trying to go to Manchester and he was asking me for help. And we worked together to deliver that. The Freeport as well in Redcar would not have been delivered if it wasn't for Rishi. So I think people recognise that on Teesside he's done an incredible job. He's helped us and I'll be forever thankful for the things he's helped improve this area. area with.
Are you going to use your mandate to renegotiate the T-Squared deal?
Well, we've already agreed that we're accepting all of the recommendations and we'll continue to implement all those recommendations.
So yes, you're renegotiating.
As I've said, we've accepted all the recommendations, so we'll continue with that.
But do you Tom, do you think
Rishi was the right person to lead your party going forward after?
Yeah, absolutely. Rishi's the right person. Because if we try and get another prime minister... Excuse me, gentlemen, please. If we have another Prime Minister, we might as well just pack up and go home, because you cannot have... You can't get rid of Boris, you can't get rid of Liz, you can't have what we've gone through in the last couple of years, and then think, I'll tell you what we'll do, we're going to get rid of Rishi and have another Prime Minister and expect the country to get behind a Conservative Party that would just look completely fractured. So you've got to get behind the Prime Minister, you've got to continue to deliver, we've got to start delivering more, because people need that excuse to vote for the Conservative. They're upset with us, so they need that excuse if we want to stand half a chance of the general election. But the idea that we should get a Rishi is just nonsense.
And Labour said you ran as a quasi-independent. Is that true? And, you know, we noticed there's no mention of Rishi or the Conservative Party.
Yeah, people say that.
No rosette.
Well, there's lots of mentions of Conservatives in the literature. Rishi Sunak came up. I mean, I would argue that the Labour Party pretended they didn't have a candidate and tried to run it as a pseudo-general election. We had Keir Starmer here twice. We had the whole shadow cabinet basically living here for the last 2 weeks. They thought they were going to win this. Let's not pretend, right? And they failed. They haven't turned their vote out. They haven't given people the reason to vote for them as well. And what we actually have, I think, more nationally in this country is we've got a government that needs to deliver more, because it's not, and we need to get on and deliver if people want to go vote for us in the next general election. And we've got an opposition that is devoid of ideas, devoid of any policy and anything that people in Teesside want to vote for. So we're in a difficult place nationally. Hopefully that can sort itself out in the general election, but that's above my pay grade and I'll just concentrate on my job here in the Teesside.
You said on TV, Hustings, that Andrew Ridgewell had said the Teesworth deal was value for money. Let me finish the question.
If you're not going to listen to me,
no,
I'm not going to. Right, okay.
I want to ask you a question.
If you're not going to listen,
you said it was value for money. She said it wasn't.
No, she didn't say that. So
she said it wasn't. No, but you said it was.
She didn't say that.
She didn't say it was value for money.
She didn't say that it wasn't value for money.
No, but she didn't say it's value for money, which is what you said.
Please don't lie.
You said it was value for money.
Do you
agree?
We're going circles.
No. You said it's value for money.
I've literally just given an answer.
Do you think you led an honest campaign, Ben?
Led on his campaign, and what is dishonest is the absolute nonsense that you've been writing. They didn't say it wasn't value for money. Can I answer the question?
I'm really sorry.
You said we were selling land for a pound and we didn't. You even reported that we got...
Because I asked for press. I told them.
This is the problem with you. You don't want answers.
I put the point to your press office and they wouldn't answer.
You want to talk down Teesside. You want to destroy investment.
No, I want answers.
Because what you want... What you want is to keep Teesside on its knees. I want jobs and investment.
No.
So for you, you are trying to damage our area. It's not good enough. You should be supporting jobs in an area like Teesside that desperately needs them. And you are lying. You are lying to people because you want to try and make a cheap buck.
Right.
Because you're trying to sell magazines.
Ben, can I ask you one question about you? You made a few interesting promises on the campaign trail. The new hospital.
Yep.
My calculation is a new hospital costs about 500 million, although about several hundred million anyway. The TVCA budget, about 360 million. How's that going to work? Where's the money going to come from for this new hospital?
Well, you said the Tees Valley budget is 360
million. The annual expenditure for the TVCA is about 360 million, I think.
Well, it depends on different pots of money and which type of pots of money you're working on.
I guess the wider point is hospital costs a lot of money.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it costs a lot of money. But we'll be able to deliver a hospital. Absolutely, we'll be able to deliver it. And I expect, starting on Tuesday, I'm going to get a meeting. It's the first thing I'm going to sit down and do. And we're going to deliver that hospital that we need. So, you know, the local trust is spending more than £10 million a year patching up the building, physically repairing the building. That's £10 million that could be going on services, right?
Where will the money come from, though?
Well, I'm going to be asking the government for the money. But I also think through devolution, through more money and more powers, which both parties have promised at the next general election, there is also a potential for the autonomy for us to deliver it locally as well. So there are plans in place that I have. We're going to get into the detail of that. We've got to get into it with the trust as well, because you've got to get into the detail of what are you actually delivering as a hospital, right? What we need as a hospital isn't what we needed with North Tees when it was built in the 1960s. What we actually need is services being delivered in the local community. We need an acute service. We need services being delivered back into places like Hartlepool. So you've moved away, actually. Not you. So but the idea of hospitals has moved away from where it was 15 years ago, where you build these kind of super hospitals. It's actually about delivering more services back into the local community. So this has to be co-designed with the trust. We can help fund it. We can help deliver it. You know, we're good at delivering and building things. And then the trust can hopefully move into a state-of-the-art hospital, deliver for local people and deliver better healthcare for local people as well.
just wanted to ask if it's been easier for you, we touched on this topic, been easier for you to be Ben Houchen than it is for it to be a Conservative candidate. Is that how you... Are you proud to be a Conservative candidate in this, yeah, in this campaign?
I was a Conservative councillor for a number of years. People know that I'm a Conservative. They know that I stand as a Conservative. We had Rishi up during the campaign. So I think absolutely. But the difference that's happened here is that people can see that we've actually delivered real things. You know, for whatever's happened elsewhere in the country and for all the nonsense that we hear and all of the Labour Party lies and smears from talking down the area, what people can see is they can go out their door and they can see train stations being rebuilt. They can see better public transport. They can see thousands of new jobs that weren't there before. They can go to the pub and speak to their friends who've got one of those jobs. So they can see progress. They want more of it. That's why they backed me for another 4 years, and I hope to be able to repay them with even more.
Did you expect to win? Because I think, you know, a lot of people were expecting a different result today. Did you think that you had it in the bag?
I mean, the Labour Party absolutely expected to win, which is why they camped up here and all of a sudden, you know, Keir Starmer's gone completely missing from Teesside and pretended as if, oh, it was always out of reach. But no, you can never take the public for granted. Of course you can't. As a public servant, you serve the public, and I've always done my best to try and deliver for them. And you walk into a count today, irrespective of how it feels on the doorstep, and you're always worried because you always want to be able to continue with the plan that we've got. And, you know, all I wanted to do today, and I think I've said it to a couple of you before, I wanted to walk in today knowing that there's nothing else that we could have done, and whatever was going to be was going to be. And I got to that point this morning that I left everything on the table. We did all we could, and I'm just thankful that local people backed me for another 4 years.
Now, journalists also got to ask questions of the defeated Labour candidate, Chris McEwan, who, I think it's fair to say, is a very different character to his Tory opponent. A lot more laid back, less confrontational. You could argue maybe that held him back in what was quite a confrontational election race. Here's what he had to say.
I felt I fought a positive campaign, trying to get a positive message across to the people of Tees Valley.
And where do you think it didn't land? Was it just down to incumbency?
I've mentioned before I was up against incumbency with huge level of resources, but also somebody who fought desperately to distance themselves from Rishi Sunak and the Conservative brand.
Mm-hmm. I think now he's gone back.
Third
on that
question.
Can I ask? Sorry.
All right.
Sorry,
okay.
I'll let Jen jump in.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think it was a fair fight?
I was fighting incumbency and
yeah,
a well-resourced...
Fairly, though. That's different.
I'm not going to comment on other people's campaign. What I'm going to say is that I sought to project a positive message.
And did your party take it seriously enough at national level? You know, if there'd been a bit more of a push from headquarters, do you think you could take it?
There was a great team effort regionally and nationally on this campaign. And that spirit will continue into the general election. And I would back the likes of Keir Starmer, who were calling for a general election now, given that we've seen a 17% swing. And I've said before, it would take a 12% swing to make Labour red. OK?
Yeah, I have you. Is this the result you were expecting, Chris?
I didn't expect anything. I played to win. Every day I got up, I went on the door, spoke to local people. I didn't take any notice or polls, and that people who know me will confirm that. The only poll that mattered was today.
And some of...
But I would add that clearly I've been fighting an incumbent that's been well-resourced and who sought to act as an independent and distance himself from Rishi Sunak.
And... There's been a lot of reports about Ben Houchen by Jen and others, and did that come up on the doorstep? Was that a factor in this election?
Those issues, the issues about being more open and transparent did come up on the doorstep, and I suspect that they will continue to come up on the doorstep as we move into campaigning for the general election. And as I've said, I'd back Keir Starmer's call for a general election. And in fact, that was mentioned on the doorstep to me many, many times.
And do you think you can win these parliamentary seats that correlate
we
to
saw, we saw... I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Hannah from the
Hannah. I've said before, we saw 17% swing. It will take a 12% swing to bring back these parliamentary seats to Labour. And I'm confident with the team locally and the support nationally and the... there's a recognition on the doorstep that the Labour Party's changed. I think it's a recognition that this is a time for change after 14 years of Conservative government.
Bob Parsons from the Northern Agenda. Can I just ask you just one question? Do you think you could have done more to highlight the various controversies surrounding the Mayor Tees Works, the crustacean die-off, the airport? These are all things that I see him criticised for a lot on social media. Do you think you could have done more to bring those to voters' attention?
I sought to highlight those issues, but in a context of wanting to see more openness and transparency. And I was not alone in those calls, and I suspect going forward there'll still be calls for openness and transparency. And we've seen an independent inquiry which has called for 28 recommendations. It's got 28 recommendations, one of which it looks like from various debates will not be actioned.
Tim Stanley, The Telegraph. I notice on the count floor I spotted only one blue rosette. You're all wearing red rosettes. Is there something to be read into that?
I'm proud to be a member of the Labour Party. We've been through challenges, but let's all be very clear that the Labour Party has changed over the last 4 years, not just under Keir Starmer's leadership, but by a reinvigoration, and that's recognised on the doorstep. During this campaign, we saw a campaign which was primarily seeking to distance itself from the Conservative brand and Rishi Sunak, and act as a proxy independent or a quasi independent. That is well documented and well recognised. It was partially recognised on the doorstep.
Forgive this question if it's a little harsh, but you're the only person more or less losing today. How does that feel?
I like to look at life in a positive manner every day.
Okay, thank you very much.
And in a sense, is it a loss to have a swing of 17%? Against somebody who had such a massive resource, was an incumbent, and was also seeking to distance themselves massively from his party and his leader.
Will you run again?
I need the weekend off, Dawn. I've got grass to cut, tanks to build, and the washing machine to empty.
Thank you.
Am I allowed to say that one?
Yeah, that's all right. That's brilliant. Thank you.
I mean, what do you put it down to? Is it his charisma, or is it, I mean, his success?
I think there's, 7 years an incumbent, distancing from the Conservative Party, a lot of resourcing. You know, I heard time again on the doorstep in relation to the Tories, and this is not a cliche. Time and time again, time for change. I've had enough. I'm sick of this slot. So a strategy of distancing yourself from the party and acting as an independent, I don't know, may well have been a strategy to resolve that.
It's been a huge day of election results. They're still coming in as I speak, and this weekend we'll be getting the results for the mayoral races in Greater Manchester, Merseyside and West Yorkshire. But some of the most interesting were in Greater Manchester, where the Manchester Evening News' Joseph Timmon was up all night following the action. He sent me this voice note with the big talking points.
This is Joe Timmon from Manchester Evening News. I've been up all night following the local election results in Greater Manchester and beyond. It's been a good night for Labour nationally, but in Greater Manchester so far we've seen quite some significant losses, most notably Oldham Council, which is no longer controlled by Labour. They lost their majority, 5 seats down. They went into the night with just a majority of 1, so it was very much on the brink of going into no overall control. Independents won all of the seats that Labour lost in Oldham, and the war in Gaza has definitely been a big issue there in certain seats, as it has been in Bolton, where Labour lost a couple of seats, and also one in Tameside, where Labour have still comfortably holding the council. But it just shows it has been a factor in this election. As far as Oldham's concerned, Labour's still the largest party, so they just need 5 councillors from other groups, smaller parties, independents, to back them in order to get a majority to stay in power. It's hard to say who will back Labour, especially as all their opponents have been trying to get rid of them. But we'll see. At the same time, it's hard to imagine all of those opponents coming together because they have such wide-ranging and in some cases opposing views. It would be difficult to imagine such a coalition that would put Labour out of power. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility. A similar thing happened in Bolton in 2019 when Labour lost control there. Labour now leads the local authority again as of last year, and it was hoping to secure a majority this year. It needed three seats to do that, and it did win three seats, but they also lost five. So they're two seats down, and that's particularly concerning for Labour because it's an important seat, an important council nationally, given that there's two Conservative parliamentary constituencies there, which Labour will be hoping to win back at a general election. So the party will be looking closely at the results there. In Stockport, the Lib Dems were hoping to secure a majority, but they fell one short. They gained two seats from Labour. But they needed one more to get over the line. Still the largest party, so in all likelihood will remain in power there. We had some other interesting results in certain seats across Greater Manchester. I think I mentioned one in Tameside, that an independent won. There was actually two that Labour lost to independents and one to a Conservative, but they're still comfortably in control. While there's no change in Wigan, Labour lost one and gained another. We've got some exciting counts today, particularly in Rochdale and Manchester, where George Galloway's Workers' Party are hoping to do some more damage to Labour. And in particular, Manchester Council's deputy leader, who's standing for re-election in Longsight, faces a threat from the Workers' Party, who are hoping to oust him. We've got Rochdale, where George Galloway won the by-election back in February. He's hoping to pick up some seats on the council as well now for his party. They're quite confident of gaining a couple. And we've got the Greater Manchester mayoral results tomorrow, as well as the results for Salford Mayor, in which Andy Burnham is expected to win comfortably, but we could see quite an interesting battle for second place with the Conservatives coming fourth in one poll that came out last week. So it'll be interesting to see how large Andy Burnham's majority is, assuming he does secure a third term in office, but also who comes third, second, third and fourth. Reform were coming second in that poll, but we'll see.
According to Keir Starmer, the biggest result of the day was in Blackpool South, where Labour won with a huge swing to take the parliamentary seat won by the Tories in that dramatic general election of 2019. Here's a voice note about how the night unfolded from Lancs Live reporter Susan Newton.
Well, after a very, very long night in Blackpool, we finally have the answer. Chris Webb is the new MP for Blackpool South, and not by any small feat either, by a huge landslide, around 7,000 votes actually, but it was somewhat predicted. We sort of knew that Labour would have this one, but honestly, you know, the cheers in the room, clearly a lot of people came down to support Chris tonight. He himself did turn up quite late at only around 2:30 in the morning, when the candidates had already well and truly cemented themselves into the counting room. But he did have a very, very emotional reunion with his baby and his wife. What a constituency, what a seat. It's an interesting one. The media room's buzzing today. And obviously, you know, the eyes of the nation were on Blackpool today. A bellwether seat. Will this show what the Tories might expect in the upcoming general election? Of course, we don't know when that is. And Chris did ask upon Rishi Sunak for when that might be, questioning him and saying that he needs to call this general election. But But does this Labour landslide show what it might look like for the rest of the country? Could be in a few weeks, could be in a few months, who knows? If anyone doesn't know why Blackpool South had a by-election today, it was triggered by the resignation of Scott Benton, who came into the seat in 2019. And, you know, obviously over the past few months since his resignation and, of course, before, there had been a lot of discussion around him. So no easy feat for David Jones, the Conservative candidate, having to follow in those footsteps. His resignation came as a result of some, some rule-breaking, some Commons rule-breaking in terms of a lobbying sting. In his rousing and very prepared speech, may I add, Chris did thank the people of Blackpool South, his young family, his family over in Australia, and really put an emphasis on thanking the people of Blackpool South. He called upon change in the area. Looks like he's going to put strong emphasis on more policing to tackle that antisocial behaviour that is all rife in the town.
So that's about it from me. There's so many little nuances from the election I could bring you, like the fact that Newcastle has elected its first Tory councillor since the early 90s, but was beaten into second place by the Reform Party in more than a dozen seats in nearby Sunderland. Make of that what you will. But I'd say the story of the day has been that to get elected as a Conservative in the current climate, your best bet might be to leave your blue rosette at home and make the election all about you. I'll have more reflections on the local elections and where we stand next week. So, see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Northern Agenda podcast. And don't forget, you can subscribe to our daily newsletter at thenorthernagenda.co.uk. It's more important than ever for Northern voices to be heard. The Northern Agenda is a laudable production for Reach. It's presented by me, Rob Parsons, and it's produced by Daniel J. McCoughlin. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to The Northern Agenda wherever you listen to your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. See you next week.